This podcast replay is brought to you by Vape and Smoke Shop in West Pines. Mention the Big O Show. Get 10 to 20% off the entire store. Call them 954-613-3367 or visit on social media at VSS West Pines.
All right, let's hear from Brian Flores. He addressed the meteors today. Let's go over some of the issues with Mr. Brian Flores. Go ahead, Bill.
Question for you, DeAndre Washington. What is it that got intrigued you guys to make him the back that you wanted to trade for and add to this team?
Well, you know, we watched him, you know, during the free agency process last year. So
Reggie McKenzie knows him from
good
Oakland.
Vision, good run skills, good catching the ball out of the backfield. You know, just doing some background on him. You know, he's a hard worker. It's important to him. He's competitive. So saw an opportunity. Chris and the personnel staff did a nice job kind of pinpointing the type of guy we were looking for, and they got it done.
Cameron?
Yeah, my apologies that it ran over.
Pause there a second. Remember, Reggie McKenzie had DeAndre in Oakland. He was the backup there for the Raiders. So he knows him really, really well. So when they need a back, if there's some familiarity there, and DeAndre Washington's actually a nice little back. He's not a bad back, actually. As a backup, he can catch the ball. He's shifty. Not a bad back to acquire. And again, it's a late round pick, so it's not a big deal. And it helps you in a pinch at this point in time because, you know, you had some injuries and inconsistencies there. So it's not a big deal. But don't forget, he's not going to tell you there, but I'll tell you, Reggie McKenzie is the guy that had him in Oakland. So you had one of your personnel guys knows him really well. So that's the kind of insight you want in order to make this kind of a trade and transition. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, I know you mentioned it a little bit yesterday, but Justin Herbert being more effective against the blitz, how does that change what you guys do? Obviously, you want to be aggressive and send some blitzes. Does that do anything, knowing a quarterback's, you know, been effective at that?
Yeah, I mean, when, you know, you see some of the things that you've done in the past or in previous games show up in another game, and he's been effective against it. Makes you think twice about going that route. So we'll, we've kind of gone through the defensive game plan, you know, extensively, without getting into, too deep into what we're going to do or what we'd like to try to do. That's part of it, part of the equation. You know, he's done a good job against, pressure, but he's really done a good job against everything. So, and they do a good job offensively, run game, pass game, screens, draws, they move the ball efficiently, third down, red zone. So, it's a good football team. That's one element of it. It's pressure. If we call it, when we call it, we've got to do a good job executing, knowing full well that they've been able to execute against those types of, let's call it defensive structure. So, definitely a tough test. He's a good player. They got good coaches. They got receivers, tight ends, backs. So, it'll be a tough test for us.
Joe?
Morning, Flo. I wanted to ask you about Matt Breida. I know yesterday was just a walkthrough, so you might not be sure how much better he's feeling. But also, we know he's one of the fastest players in the league. But what are some of the things he needs to do beyond being fast in order to maximize his potential and help the team?
Well, I think he's definitely helped the team thus far. But it was nice to see him out there yesterday. And just, take a few reps and see him move around a little bit. So that was nice. But look, like you said, he's fast, he's explosive, he's tough. I think he's done a really nice job for us in the kicking game. He's gotten his opportunities as a runner. He's broken some big plays, and he just needs to do what he's been doing. He prepares the right way. It's important to him. And if he just continues to do what he's been doing, I think he'll be just fine.
Armando?
I have a very high football IQ question. I'm wondering what you think of the throwback uniforms And would you ever support having those uniforms as your full-time uniforms?
You know, I'm not a big fashion guy. It's not really, you know, at the top of my priority list. I like the new uniforms. I like the old uniforms. I like the old logo. But you know, I just like, I like playing and coaching football. So sorry, Mondo. I just, that's not really at the top of my priority list. It's not really something I think about. I know, and I know there's people who love the old uniforms. I mean, but old uniforms, new uniforms. I just, I mean, I like to coach. I don't really care what we're wearing. So if you want me to, you know, if you want me to vote, I'll vote for the old uniforms. If you want me to cast a vote. So
there you go.
I choose the old or the new. I'll probably go with the old.
Smart man. Omar?
Wanted to ask you about Keenan Allen. He's a very good route runner, just to simplify things. And he works a lot in the slot. Does that creates different challenges for you guys? I know you've faced good slot receivers before, but when you have two dynamic boundary guys, do you consider putting them inside to go against Keenan?
Yeah, Keenan's a very, very he's one of the top players in the league. Very productive, very good route runner, good hands, good after the catch. I feel like I've seen him every year for the last 10 years. He's a very good player. He poses a lot of problems, but they got other guys that pose problems as well. Guyton, you know, Mike Williams, Hunter Henry. So we're gonna have to deal with guys on the perimeter. Obviously we need to deal with Keenan in the slot when he's in the slot. I mean, they move him around, so you can try to pinpoint where he is, but again, you know, Aylin does a good job of moving these guys around. So again, that's part of it. You know, some of our, you know, things we have to deal with defensively. But yeah, all those conversations are had. You know, do we move a guy that's primarily outside, inside? Do we leave him outside and deal with the issues inside? Well, if we move and they don't move, we're good. But if we move and they move, they got what they want. You know what I mean? It's just, those are all the kind of gymnastics you go through as you're trying to game plan. So we'll see. You'll find out on Sunday. But what we all know is that Keenan Allen's a very good player. And we know Herbert will be looking for him, as he should.
Adam?
Good morning, Brian. I don't think you've been asked yet about the change of the Rooney Rule, providing compensation to teams that lose minority coaches to head coaching positions. I want to get your reaction to that change. And I was curious, was your input asked either on the league or by Steve Ross when that came up for a vote?
I mean, I've said this multiple times. I think there's a lot of very good minority coaches in this league, good teachers, good coaches, good leaders. And if given the opportunity, I think they'd have success as head coaches in this league, head coaches, general managers. I think I support the change. As far as any conversations that I've had, or those kind of stay internal within our building and with whoever I have conversations with, I think that's just common courtesy. But yeah, look, there's a lot of good coaches in this league, white, black, but there's certainly, if you're asking me about minority coaches, there's certainly a large contingent of capable and smart, bright leaders in this league. I'm hopeful that they get the opportunities they deserve, and I'm sure, if given those opportunities, they'll have success.
I got to tell you something. Pause that a second there. I find that rule to be so insulting, because you should be hiring people on their merit, on their talent. you shouldn't be hiring them on their color. And so now you might be forcing the issue in hiring a minority that doesn't deserve to get hired, but yet you're doing it because of the PR move to it and then the compensation that you might get from the league on it. And that, to me, I don't know if that really helps the cause. I think what helps the cause is that you give minorities the opportunity and then you show the racist people that own the teams that, hey, you know what? Minorities also can, you know, listen, blacks couldn't play quarterback. They couldn't play middle linebacker because they were labeled like, oh, no, they're not smart enough to do it. That was the thinking in the NFL for decades. And then finally, Willie Lanier, you know, plays for Kansas City, shuts everybody the hell up, you know, and so on and so forth. And then the quarterback position, it has changed now, finally. You know, now I don't really think the color is any more the issue anymore. Now it's just a matter, does he fit your system or not and what you're doing. But now plenty of minority quarterbacks are getting, you know, opportunities. But we haven't crossed over to general managers. We haven't crossed over enough to head coaches. We're getting, we have the players, and now we have the players at all positions, and we have assistant coaches. We even have coordinators, but we still don't take the next step to head coach, to general manager, and also even owner. You know what I mean? And it's all these labels that we put on things. And that's why we've kind of lived in that area. I personally hate that you're incentivizing something that does not need to be incentivized. But you're only incentivizing it because the people that own your teams aren't objective enough. That's the difference between basketball and the NFL. In basketball, they're actually objective. They actually care about their players. They actually want to understand the things they go through, and they meet them halfway in a lot of these things. The NFL,
you got to dangle a carrot and give them incentives to make a move in the right direction.
That's because the NFL treats everybody like, you know, you're my slave, basically. All right, go ahead.
Hey, Coach, wanted to ask about the COVID situation. You know, do you expect any coaches to return to practice today? Also, Lynn Bowden Jr. on the COVID list. And I wanted to ask you about any advice or talks you've had with Solomon Kinley, you know, after the O-line changes against Arizona last week.
You're going to hit me with four questions right there, huh, Sof?
One, two, three, four.
All right, so as far as Solomon Kinley, you know, I talked to all the offensive linemen. I try to talk to everyone on the team. But, look, my message is normally the same. Let's improve. Let's get better every day. You know, what happened last week or 6 weeks ago really doesn't matter. It's about what you do today, how you perform in practice today. And, you know, that's how you take advantage of your opportunities when they present themselves. I didn't write them down, so can you unmute them and we can kind of go through these again?
Yeah, just your COVID situation, if you expect any coaches to return to practice today and Lynn Bowden.
All right. So expect Lynn Bowden to be back today. Coaches, you know, we'll get a couple back. I'm not going to get into who, but we may get a couple back. And then I think, you know, our guys have done a good job as far as having the next man up mentality, whether it's players, coaches, you know, equipment, training room. I think everyone has that mentality. So, you know, it's been good that way. I think it's always good to, you know, do something that you're not normally doing. It may be a little uncomfortable, but in the end, you're probably better for it. Have a better understanding of the overall scheme and, you know, different vantage points of how other positions or other players see things. So there is some good that comes out of it, I think, in my opinion.
I have time for one more. We'll go to Barry.
Hi, Brian. Speaking of Lynn, it'd be helpful to know this year whether Lynn and Malcolm Perry, not to lump them together, but obviously two rookie former college quarterbacks, if they're more change of pace guys or if they're actually could develop into legit slot receivers. If you could please address where both of them stand in their growth toward that goal.
So it'd be helpful to know for who? For you,
it'd be helpful to know for you guys, for Dolphins and for writers who cover the team and are trying to determine, okay, could these guys be long-term slot receiver options?
Well, when we start talking long-term, Barry, that's when I got to revert back to today.
That's right.
I think the message is and always will be, let's not think about long-term and how far down the road or how many years we're going to be this, that, or the other thing. The focus is today. Improving today, having good meetings, having good walkthroughs, having good practice, stringing them together. That will hopefully manifest itself in the game. If and when their opportunities, you know, show up in the game. I think sometimes you can make progress and no one sees it and it doesn't show up on the stat sheet. And you may be the long-term answer, or someone may be the long-term answer, and you guys don't know, and I don't know, and no one knows, and then, bam, things happen, and it's because of the work that was done,
Preston Williams.
You know, previous 8-9 weeks. So, again, looking for the long-term answer, you know, in one game, I don't think that's normally how it happens. I think it happens over time. I think it takes time. There's a, let's call it a compounding basically it takes, there's a growth here that occurs over a period of time. And
you got to let it happen.
We don't know if it's long-term because it's still very early.
All right, so
that's kind of my thought.
Oh, I got it for Len Fisher.
That's on, you know, both of those guys as well as, you know, every other young player we're dealing with on this team.
All right, let me explain
what you're looking for, Barry. But it's the one I got for you.
All right, so
that's the end. That's the end.
There you go. Let me explain why that's a silly ass question by Barry. So the kids barely played. Bowden. So I'll go Lynn Bowden. He's barely played. So Barry already wants a determination whether he's a long-term player or not. Is he a scat back? Is he an every-down player? So Lynn Bowden is going to read that soundbite, and he's already going to say, wow, the coach already labeled me what I'm going to be. How do you think that works out? How do you think it works out? Well, you know, Barry, I see him as a scat back. And maybe he's a 2,000-yard back. I don't know. Did you know Preston Williams was going to kick ass? Was going to screw his head on right? Because he fell out of the draft because he was such a screw-up? Did you know that? Did I know that? No. Did they know that? No. They just took a chance on the guy. Well, he's talented. We've seen a lot of people that are talented and they don't do anything, right? I think we've gotten to a point in media and fans that they think these guys play fantasy football, right? Because, you know, me and Bill, we got a fantasy team, right? We got a dynasty league. You know what a dynasty league is, right? That you draft players you're keeping. So me and Bill pick a player in the second round. But we pick this young guy that we love his upside, but we don't know. We're kind of taking a chance. And then we say, hey, doesn't matter. Next year, we'll have another pick. We'll replace him. We'll just try this guy out. You can do that in fantasy. In the NFL, can you imagine the report from last week from ESPN? That stupid-ass report from Schefter and ESPN that said that they were giving Tua a 10-game tryout so they can see what they have, so they can go to the – do you know how stupid that sounds? Do you know how much a lot of you would absolutely fry – Chris Greer, wait a minute, you're telling me that guy drafted Tua just to give him a 10-game look and then move on? well, why didn't he take this defensive end and that tackle and this guard and this wide receiver and that corner? He could have taken that with the fifth pick. Why did he have to take Tua if he was only getting him? You guys would roast Chris Greer. I would roast Chris Greer for that. Everybody would roast Chris Greer for that. Because wait a minute, what do you mean you're taking a guy for a 10-game tryout? You don't do that with the fifth overall pick. I could do that with the seventh-round pick that I drafted that was late in the draft. I could do that with a street free agent I picked up. Ah, you know what? We got 8 games left this season. Let's throw him out there. Let's see if he's got anything. If not, of course, because he's an 8th-round pick. He's a 15th-round pick. He's a street free agent. He's not worth much. The fifth overall pick. And so now Barry asked the question like, hey, well, so tell us what Lynn Bowden is in your eyes already. Coach is not going to do that. Do you do that to your son or daughter? Because you would be a bad parent. Right? Are you going to cap off what your son or daughter can do? Even if you know what you think they know, what they can do, you know, you're like, yeah, no, you know, I know my son is not going to make it to the majors. Let me tell him. You know, son, maybe you make it to college. That's about it. But you really shouldn't have aspirations of the pros.
He's a C student. Let's have him go to junior college.
Exactly. I view you as a, you know, college player at best. Maybe you'll make it to single A. Do you really want to live in a crap town? Come on, let's be a dentist. Are you going to do that to your kid? Are you going to do that to your wife? Are you going to do that to your husband? Are you going to do that to your cousin? Are you going to do that to your friend? Are you going to do that to the kid you coached? No. You allow people to try to excel and reach their dreams and reach their potential and reach their maximum because you see talent. You cannot predict what is their max. And so now there's a reporter asking the head coach, give us your final determination on what you think this player is. And boy, that really would have gone over well with the player. I mean, the only way it goes well is if he says, well, you know, I think Lynn Bowden is going to be, what's the name of that dude from the Steelers, the special teams, the wide receiver, the Georgia kid. That was absolutely awesome. Great special teamer, great receiver. Bro, what's his name, man? Come on, Pittsburgh. Just a couple years back.
Oh,
Georgia. God. His name, man. Somebody else. Hines Ward. Bro, I'm the one that's like running everything here, bro.
You're
what's
talking
wrong with you?
Hort, Hines Ward? That guy was he was the best blocking receiver in the NFL.
But that's my point. He didn't come into the league to become that. He came in as a special teamer. So did Troy Brown. So what are you going to do? Just tell him, oh, yeah, nah, you're a late round pick. You're a special teamer. That's all. You're not going to do that. That's why it's unrealistic.
Your lot in life is blah, blah.
Right. You don't do that, dude. My daughter wants to study whatever. Let's go. Let's go. Work hard. You can achieve it. Okay? You got to allow people to fail. You got to allow people to get an opportunity. You got to give them that chance so they can actually live with themselves. Because if you're mature enough, you can handle the reality. What you cannot handle is the lack of opportunity. That's really hard because when you know you can do something and you're not given that chance, that's a frustrating part. And that's exactly what would have happened if he would have said, you know, I don't think he's much of a pass catcher. He can run. And Lynn Bowden's going, well, wait a minute. You haven't even seen me yet. I can catch the ball. Limitations, baby. Big O, I didn't want to rush to say this, but Brian Flores is starting to really look and act kind of like a modern-day Don Shula. I love it.